The following sermon was delivered by Rabbi Joshua Davidson on Friday, October 30th, 2015.
Vayehi achar hadvarim ha'ela, and it came to pass that God tested Abraham and said to him, Take now thy son, thine only son, whom thou lovest, Isaac, and go to the land of Moriah, v'halehu sham le'olah, and offer him there for a burnt offering upon one of the heights which I will show thee. So begins the climactic episode of this week's Torah portion, Parashat Vayera. Hundreds of generations have wrestled with this story. Why would God test Abraham, loyal servant, in so cruel a fashion, asking the sacrifice of his beloved son, and in the end demand, lay not thy hand upon the child? Classical and modern commentators alike have sought to understand. Akedat Yitzchak, The Binding of Isaac, was written, at least in part, as a polemical response to the ritual of human sacrifice, not only acceptable, but central in the cultic practices of Israel's ancient Near East neighbors. In Abraham's time and place, he might not have been surprised at the command to slaughter his son. By bringing Abraham up Mount Moriah, setting the scene for such a sacrifice, and then stopping it, just as Abraham's arm, knife in hand, was about to fall, God could demonstrate to Abraham, and the Bible's writers could convey to ancient Israel, precisely what not to do in a manner that words alone could never express. According to legend, the binding of Isaac took place on the Temple Mount, the political epicenter of the current Israeli-Palestinian crisis, the rock inside the Dome of the Rock, the very place where Abraham prepared to offer his son until God stayed his hand. The command, lay not thy hand upon the child, echoes from that hilltop in the darkness of our own time, in the proliferation of extremist ideologies promoting violence as the only path to redemption. One midrash suggests that Isaac's near slaughter on Mount Moriah resulted from just such a cynical perception of the necessity for bloodshed. The Hebrew of God's command, Ha'alehu, literally means bring him up. In the context of sacrificial worship, though, the term denotes a burnt offering, the smoke of which ascends heavenward. And the plain meaning of the biblical text is that God wanted Isaac as such an offering. But the rabbis imagine that perhaps God intended only the literal meaning. Ha'alehu, bring him up the mountain, Abraham, and when we are done, you will bring him down again. But the patriarch, believing child sacrifice an unavoidable consequence of religious devotion, misunderstood. Or perhaps the first command, Ha'alehu, did not come from God at all, but rather from somewhere inside Abraham. Because Abraham observed human sacrifice as what the gods of the surrounding cultures demanded, he presumed his God required it too. In his zeal to serve, he projected his belief onto God. Rabbi Gunther Plaut notes, a God who asks man what the text appears to ask is not the true God, but one whom man fashions in his own image. Man often believes that God wants him to sacrifice his children to an imagined demand. But then it is not God who is cruel, but man. It is man who all too frequently is prepared to immolate his offspring to satisfy his own concept of duty, and who will restrain his compassion before his own sense of righteousness. The history of humanity is replete with misdeeds committed in the name of religion. these last words. The history of humanity is replete with misdeeds committed in the name of religion, resonate in so many of the terrible tragedies unfolding in the Middle East. Those who believe that God sanctions murder, ISIS, Al-Qaeda, Hamas, and other extremist groups, those who martyr their children for the sake of jihad, worship a God of hate fashioned for them by leaders guided not by Islam's teachings, but by a fundamentalist perversion of them. Nor is Judaism immune to the fanatics' corruption. Recall the recent burnings of the Catholic Church in the Galilee and the Palestinian home in Douma, resulting in the horrific deaths of a young family, and the stabbing of six Jews marching in Jerusalem's gay pride parade, all by Orthodox extremists. This Shabbat comes as a most poignant reminder of the dangers of Jewish fanaticism. As we read Akedat Yitzchak, we observe the 20th Yahrzeit of Yitzhak Rabin, assassinated by Yigal Amir, who believed he was acting under the instruction of halakha, Jewish law. Next week, on Wednesday, November 4, we as a city will mark the secular anniversary in a ceremony here at Temple Emmanuel with members of the Rabin family. 20 years ago, we stood as if on a mountaintop, celebrating the future we believed lay in view, an end to hostilities between Israel and the Palestinians. Israel, many of us believed, might actually, finally, live in peace and security. The past 15 years have all but dashed those hopes, all but erased that moment of optimism. On this awful anniversary, we give voice to our shared grief and offer our collective prayer for an end to the specter of terror with which Israelis live daily. Our hearts are with them. We yearn to stand again on that mountaintop and bear witness to the beating of swords into plowshares. Earlier this week, Israel's former Prime Minister and President, Shimon Peres, reflected on Rabin's life and death. Yitzhak Rabin's legacy has deep roots in our hearts and minds, he wrote, and we miss his vision and leadership today more than ever, a leadership that carries a clear message of hope for the people of Israel facing difficult decisions bravely, a brave leader who realized that the future of the state of Israel as a Jewish and democratic state with an enduring Jewish majority depends wholly on our ability to part from our Palestinian neighbors. This remained his legacy, an uncompleted goal of a historic compromise that has to be achieved for the benefit of future generations and the security of the state of Israel, and so that we can say that despite all the obstacles along the way, the bullet that shot Yitzhak did not succeed. May the vision of peace Rabin enabled us to see yet come true, and may the messages of peace and hope that echo from this house of God echo from every house of God. Shalom, shalom, l'rachok v'l'karov, amar Adonai. Peace, peace to the far and to the near, says the Lord. Amen.